Burning.
Yeah, if you're the only operator, how do you cover an entire day?
Well, you pretty well choose your hours to deal with getting the weather right, dealing with captain's urgent messages, and covering traffic lists. Each shore station would send out a list of ships, call signs of ships they had messages for. So you would listen for those messages for your call sign.
Yeah.
And then after the traffic list was over, you'd call the station, say, here I am, give me the message. So you'd set your watches to meet those needs, with some in the morning, some in the afternoon, some in the evening. And when you got off watch, each system had what was called an auto alarm. And an auto alarm was a mechanical device. There were two different kinds. There was RCA, which was electronic, and there was the Mackay radio, which was mechanical. It had cams that went around, and it listened to 500 kilocycles, 600 meters, distress signals, mm-hmm. distress wave. And an auto alarm signal was a 4-second dash, a 1-second silence, a 4-second dash, a 1-second silence. So it was very distinct.
Yeah.
And it went on for at least a minute. If you wanted to send it, you could switch it on to send it for a minute while you were getting your distress message ready. But to listen to it, it sometimes, more often than not, went, and there was a bell in the radio room, there was a bell in the radio operator's quarters, and there was a bell on the bridge. So that when the alarm went off, everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
And if you were asleep at night, you would have to jump up out of a sound sleep and go to the radio room, which was usually next door. The radio room was very close to the operator's quarters.
Right.
On a tanker, it was actually a doorway. On a Liberty ship, it was down a short hallway. Mm-hmm. But there were many, many false alarms because the machine was not that good at doing it.
Yeah.
But I have experienced auto alarm signals that led to distresses. So we went